time we have to honor you and bless you. And I pray that the music and hymns that we perform will speak to us all and assist in healing and encouraging us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. That piece was arranged by a good friend of ours, Neil Harnley, from Pennsylvania. And he was here last year at Holden. And I remember Neil talking about grace. And there's a verse that I'd like to read to you from Ephesians about grace, the amazing grace that we have in Christ. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God.
There is also Neil Harnley went to Juilliard also with us. He graduated with a degree in composition. And then he left and went to medical school, and now he's a practicing physician in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And he's still single, so. he's a really good friend of ours. And his family has become very dear to us over the years. And we've visited often and had a wonderful times. And his mother, Jeanette Harnley, composed some prose, which I'd like to read to you, which Neil also set to music. Unfortunately, we don't have that. It's now a new hymn. It's a wonderful hymn. Anyway, the prose that she wrote is titled My Master's Hand. And this is sort of a theme for the concert tonight that we that the music we've chosen, the hymns we've chosen, and the arrangements are hymns that encourage us, and because there's so many of us that going through so many difficult times, and that seems to be the story of life, and so we'd like to, in a small way, be able to help in through music. My Master's Hand. I see the touch of my Master's hand. With dawn majestic radiance spills upon the hills. How he graciously my day designs, his selfless love my work inspires, and I'll retire by the golden touch of my Master's hand. I hear the touch of my Master's hand, perceived as songed to deafened ear, dispelling fear. Hear a birdsong from above the land, his word, the descant of all my days, in thankful praise. I'll listen for the touch of my Master's hand. I feel the touch of my Master's hand, now sorrows gone, sweet hope renewed in gratitude. How he gives each new challenge for each hour within my cup new joys afford. I am restored by the healing touch of my Master's hand. The next selection we have for you is from Johann Sebastian Bach's Cantata No. 113. It's a movement for tenor, solo, and with flute obbligato. And I'll be playing the tenor part. And the title is Jesu nimmt die Sünde an. And the translation is Jesus takes on himself all our sins, sweetest word full of comfort in life. He gives peace to our souls and shouts to those who trust in him comforting cheers, your sins are forgiven.
Now we come to a portion of the program of Norwegian music, and really we should devote a whole concert to this next portion, but I'm very sorry, we have to just play a few numbers for you. My forefathers came from Norway way back, and also Sweden actually, and the music has a very powerful meaning in my own personal life, and hopefully I can convey some of that to you today. The first piece really needs no introduction. It's by Edvard Grieg, of course, and I don't mean to idolize him, really, but from the readings that I have done recently, he really had tremendous influence in the 20th century, much more than musicologists have previously thought. So, of course, that interested me greatly. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute, we would like to play one of his most famous songs that was written when he was about 22, upon his engagement to his wife Nina Hagerup, and I think you'll notice the very effective harmonies used with the delightful melody, and it's called "Jeg elsker deg," I love you. Is the tape on? Okay. The next piece I'd like to play for you is written by Ole Bull. Now, again, I could go on and on about him, but if you'd like to see the colony he started in the 19th century in Pennsylvania, it's quite interesting, actually. He thought that they could come over and have all this farmland, and there's a lot of land there, but it's very hilly. And anyway, it was sort of a disaster. But his music certainly is not a disaster. In fact, Edvard Grieg was influenced. See, I'm kind of going backwards in time. And then I'll end this Norwegian excursion by going very much forward in time. But right now we're just going back into Romanticism a little further. And the next piece by Ole Bull is called the Setter Jentens Sundag, or the Chalet Girl's Sunday. And it has very sweet words to it, actually, by Jørgen Moe, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. But The words are in English would be, I gaze on the sun, it mounts in the skies. The hour soon for Mass will be breaking. One moment, I forgot to tell you. This chalet girl, she's of course in Norway up in the mountains tending to the flocks in the summertime, and she can't always come down to church, so she's gazing down in the valley below, very much wishing to be with her people. So it's kind of about loneliness, and I think you will hear that in the tune that is so beautifully written to this poem. Let me continue. Ah, would I were home midst all that I prize, among folks now, the churchward path taking. As soon as the sun lights upon its way, the notch in the mountain crest yonder, then church bells below for worship today, ring forth from the tower as I wander. Am I on again? Okay, by the way, before I let my husband play the most beautiful Norwegian romance in the world by another romanticist from Norway, Johan Svendsen, I'd like to read you Ole Bull's words himself, because I think it might give you an idea of where his inspiration came from, or part of it, actually. When the 19th century violinist Ole Bull, who enchanted European audiences with his performances of Norwegian folk melodies, was asked by the King of Denmark who had taught him to play, Bull simply replied, "The Norwegian mountains, Your Majesty."
Hello? There is also an interesting story behind this work, and you never know if these are true, but it's a great story. And it goes like this. Johan Svendsen was teaching one day, and a few students canceled, and this is pretty typical if you're a teacher. And so he had some extra time in his hands, and so in a matter of an hour, hour and a half, he composed this romance. And he sent it in to his publisher, and the publisher snapped it up and paid him a pittance for it. And over the years, it has become one of his best-known compositions and has made his publisher a fortune. Unfortunately, Svendsen didn't see any of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, that piece and the work by Ole Bull have really become folk songs in their own right in Norway today. And folk music in general, folk songs, has a very rich tradition and has given us a rich heritage in the church as well. And that's another subject that intrigues me. Having grown up in the Lutheran church and the rich chorale tradition, it has become part of my life. And I came to Holden Village in the early 60s as a child of some of the work party members of the Lutheran church in Bothell, Washington. And then I came, you know, over the years repeatedly on and off. Most recently with my husband and 8 years ago, and then again 4 years ago, we performed a program here. Holden Village, I just want to say, and I know you all know this, I don't have to tell you this, but it really is a gift in so many ways. And just being here these last 2 days, between running into people that I hadn't seen for 25 years or so, and a college professor from Luther College, where I had taught previous to his teaching there, namely the Dr. Peter, I forget his first name, I just met him here today, and able to talk to him about all the old friends that I knew at Luther College. And so it's just always a blessing to come here. And then, of course, with the mountain setting, and personally, with the Norwegian heritage I have, it's a combination that can't be beat, and to have people like you here. If anyone's interested in anything about Norwegian music, I have a little resource page here that I put together some time ago where I've gotten some of my information and that I just think are terrific resources. So if you want the information, just ask me for that. I just want to take a minute or two to backtrack just a bit, because I forgot that I had this quote by Grieg and also a quote by someone else. They're very short, and I'd like to read them to you. Grieg said that integrity, being honest with oneself and others, was for him one of the most important moral imperatives for an artist and his work of art. He once said, "In the last analysis, there is only one source of riches, and there the ideals are one's own." And yet, in a letter of 1904, he said, "In recent years, I have constantly asked myself the question, what is this thing called originality, this thing called newness? It is not the most important thing, for the most important thing is truth, truth of feeling." And this is the characteristics of his music that so influenced all the music of the 20th century. You know, I could be stretching the truth just a bit, but I really don't think so. Take the words of Maurice Ravel. I'm sure you're all very familiar with the French Impressionist and neoclassicist. He, on one occasion, declared that he had not written a single work that had not been influenced by Grieg. And he said that, of course, many years ago, and just now, in the last 10 or 20 years, this is being debated, discussed, researched, and whatnot. Also, a little antidote, it's kind of funny. There was a conversation between Delius, the English Impressionist, and Ravel. And Delius said, "Modern French music is simply Grieg plus the prelude to the third act of Tristan." Ravel replied, "You are right. We have always been most unjust toward Grieg." Now, the next work I'd like to play is by an American composer. She lives in New York City. She's also a flutist. And her name is Catherine Hoover. And she wrote a piece called Reflections. Reflections is based on a medieval hymn tune from Nidaros, which is actually today Trondheim. And they had a St. Olaf festival there every year in the Middle Ages. And there was a collection of hymn tunes collected. And she got a hold of that. And since she's a flutist, she decided to write a solo work based on that with many variations. I'm giving you a condensed version today just for the sake of time. But what I've decided to do is I took the chorale right out of my Norske Salmebok at home. It's all same, it's in D minor. So I took it right out of that and gave it to my pianist. And the words I'm going to read to you, and then I will play the hymn tune, some variations, and then the hymn tune again. It's called Naglet til kors på jorden, which is nailed to a cross on earth. The light dawned over the country. The dragon of battle the people could not protect themselves. Darkness lay around mountain and seashore. But Saint Olaf came with joy, heavenly light, and holy virtue, planted the cross in our land. Thank you. actually going to our, basically our final number now. I'd like my husband to say a few words behind the inspiration for it. But I think next time I come back, I will do an all-Norwegian program, and maybe some of you will be here.
In the process of doing reading for personal devotions, I came across a wonderful book by Charles Spurgeon called All of Grace. And there's one chapter entitled Why Saints Persevere. And I'd like to read an excerpt from that chapter. He bases this on 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. And Spurgeon says, the apostle does not say, you are faithful. Alas, the faithfulness of man is a very unreliable affair. It is mere vanity. He does not say, you have faithful ministers to lead and guide you, and therefore I trust you will be safe. Oh no, if we are kept by men, we shall be but ill kept. He, Paul, puts it, God is faithful. If we are found faithful, it will be because God is faithful. On the faithfulness of our covenant God, the whole burden of our salvation must rest. On this glorious attribute of God, the matter hinges. We are variable as the wind, frail as a spider's web, weak as water. No dependence can be placed upon our natural qualities or our spiritual attainments, but God abideth faithful. He is faithful in his love. He knows no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is faithful to his purpose. He doth not begin a work and then leave it undone. He is faithful to his relationships. As a father, he will not renounce his children. As a friend, he will not deny his people. As a creator, he will not forsake the work of his own hands. He is faithful to his promises and will never allow one of them to fail to a single believer. He is faithful to his covenant, which he has made with us in Christ Jesus and ratified with the blood of his sacrifice. He is faithful to his Son and will not allow his precious blood to be spilled in vain. He is faithful to his people, to whom he has promised eternal life and from whom he will not turn away. You know, as I was thinking about this, it really hits home to me. And very revealing to me, and the reason is that we all know what the natural man is, what he does, his selfishness, his trickery. We know what man is because we know ourselves. And you know, I mentioned earlier, there's the service last night, the Vespers last night was such a touching service. Of healing and comfort, and it is evident to all of us, I think, that no one is immune from the pain and suffering of living, and each of us has such a vast collection of baggage and burdens that, were it not for the loving assistance of Jesus, would completely crush us. But the words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians over and over exhorting us to encourage one another, and Spurgeon's words are treasures we need to hold on to. So too, the relationships we have with one another, ones predicated on a love of Christ, on truth, compassion, and encouragement, these should be pursued and cultivated. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Spurgeon then completes the chapter. I'm jumping ahead and skipping some things. But he completes it saying this, so then with the utmost confidence Let us go forward into the unknown future, linked eternally with Jesus. If the man of the world should cry, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved?" we will joyfully confess that we do lean on Jesus and that we mean to lean on him more and more. Our faithful God is an everlasting well of delight, and our fellowship with the Son of God is a full river of joy. Knowing those glorious things, we cannot be discouraged. Nay, rather, we cry out with the apostle, "Who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord?" The last piece we'd like to play for you, actually the second to last, is a wonderful arrangement of three hymns. Again, this is how we began the program, by Neil Harnley. And this particular piece, I think I left my... Hold on one second. Something always goes wrong. This particular piece, at one point, Neil came to Marie and I and said, "I'd like to write an arrangement for you. Can you tell me what your favorite hymns are?" And so, by the way, this is why you have your hymnals. And as I read the hymn, the page numbers off, I'd like you to turn to the hymns, because we'll be playing the hymns in many different arrangements, and you can follow along, kind of keep fingers and pieces of paper, because there are three hymns. And the first one was my favorite hymn, is "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go," and that's on page 324. And one of Marie's favorite hymns is "Children of the Heavenly Father," and that's on page 474. And Neil chose "He Leadeth Me," and that's on page 501. And I'll repeat the numbers in a minute here. He came back to us a few months later and with this arrangement, and I have to tell you, it's absolutely stunning. And from a compositional point of view, from a spiritual point of view, it is what makes it especially touching is that he dedicated it to his sister, Renee. And Neil wrote these words about this arrangement. "These three hymns, Children of the Heavenly Father, He Leadeth Me, and O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, each a favorite of either Peter, Marie, or myself, became powerful statements of faith toward the end of my sister Renee's fight with cancer. She was able to hear the piece a month before her passing, and it was offered as a tribute to her at her memorial service. The fugetta, or little fugue, in the middle of the work reflects her love of Baroque music." And this piece is an absolutely wonderful piece. Several times in the piece, he'll combine two of the hymns at the same time. And I kind of like that in the sense that you can combine the text from one hymn and jump to the text of another and make a whole new meaning come out. Also, the fugue that he dedicated to his sister, just a masterful fugue. Another reason why it's so special is because she was a flutist. So I hope you enjoy these hymns. And oh, by the way, the numbers again are 324, 474, and 501.
Thank you.
Jesus, who takes away the sin.